Here we are. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen? Yeah, somebody said they needed to hear that last Sunday. Well, we'll hear it again, right? Well, this hymn is really a powerful hymn. It was back on 9/11 that we had that tragedy, and everyone was in a panic, similar to now. And except there it was like a little different. People were flocking to church at least for a couple weeks. We had 4 worship services in about 6 or 7 days. We had the news media out there in Ahwatukee, and it was unbelievable. And I'm thinking, when it first happened and we found out we're going to have a service that night, I'm going, okay, this is kind of new. There's nothing in the agenda that says, okay, when you have a terrorist attack on your country, say these words or have these prayers. So what I did is I went back to a sermon delivered after Pearl Harbor was attacked by Walter A. Meyer. And it really gave me some guidance there, as well as my dad's World War II prayer book. And going back to some old ancient words. And that was, by the way, that those services was the first time I ever used CDs for a service. And here we are. We're doing it here. So we started doing that a little bit more, at least for some services in Family of Christ. But it was very powerful to bring the ancient words of God that are true in any situation, right? And you can think about all the events that have happened in the world and trying to attack the Christian church. God is always with us, right? And we talked about a mighty fortress is our God, and the fact that the God of hosts is our refuge, a very present help in times of trouble. And we talked about Psalm 91. We prayed over our families. And that Psalm 91 talks about angels watching over families and delivering them from pestilence, which is an old word that I hadn't heard for a while, but it's coming back because it means plagues and deadly diseases. But God's on the throne, right? Amen. He is on the throne. And we're talking today about the secret of being content. Okay? It's kind of prophetic, I think, that what Pastor Rick talked about last week, but not being anxious. Don't you wish the news media and the world heard those words from Pastor Rick? Yeah. Right? It's crazy. It's absolutely insane. It's crazy. And we are called to live with common sense, yes, and prudence, but also faith and not fear ruling our hearts, right? Let Christ, the peace of Christ, rule in our hearts. So anyway, we're looking at Philippians 4, verse 10, and Paul says, I rejoiced greatly in the Lord, that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. There are times where people sometimes want to help and are not sure how to help. And there are times, well, things are going pretty smooth. And, well, this is the time where Christ is calling you to help. There are a lot of people that need help, right? What a week it's been, and what a change in this country over 1 week. I was talking to my kids last night, Jeremy and Crystal, and Ryden, and we went out to dinner. And the restaurant was packed. It was a Western steakhouse out in the Santan Valley. We had a great time. And he was talking about that his pastor sent out a video about today, and that they're taking precautions and advising that some people who are ill and have respiratory problems not come, but otherwise they're going to open the doors, because he said this is an opportunity for us to reach out like never before to people who maybe never cared about the gospel and now are needing something substantial, something solid, something to put their hopes on and their lives on and eternity on. And kids and older adults maybe and millennials and baby boomers going, oh my goodness, what is going on? What do we do? Looking for something solid, something rock solid to build their lives on and to protect their families with. And we have that here. Isn't it a privilege to be here in worship? It's a privilege to be here, right? So we are glad to be here and to worship together. And we will pray together for sure. You can believe that today. We will pray and we will come together, because you're not alone. I'm not alone. We come together in Jesus Christ. And because of that, Paul says, I rejoice greatly. Because this congregation, we talked about how they were generous and they sent these gifts to that wonderful man that had that wonderful name, Epaphroditus. How about that for a name, right? Yeah. It's only mentioned 2 or 3 times in the Bible, so you probably would never have to read it again. Well, you never know. But anyway. Yeah, oh yeah, that's right. Never mind. But we rejoice greatly in the Lord. Paul did, we do, right? And he was so excited. He says, oh, those wonderful Philippians. Not Philippines, but Philippians. They're a wonderful group. And every time he thought about those people, he says, oh, they are just awesome. Nobody else helped me, but he could count on them. And we think of the churches that help us out. We count on them, and they come through, and thanks be to God, their checks are on the offering plate today. And by the way, I got to say, to those of you out there in internet land, we welcome you. To those of you who can't be here today or can't be at your own church, we warmly invite you into our presence today in Amazing Grace. And if you remember the church, you may want to bring your offering and send it to 7310 West Camelback, Phoenix, Arizona. Just if you remember, though. But anyway, to all of you, maybe hearing from across the world on the internet, thanks to Daryl Olson doing that, it's a vital part of our ministry here. We send greetings of peace to all in Jesus Christ our Lord. And that if you're listening to this, you are not alone. You are with us in spirit as we worship together in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen? We are here with our great God, and He's in control, and He is still on the throne, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And so we rejoice greatly that we have one another that we can count on. That Robert, when he had his father pass away, he could count on people helping him out in CR last week. That was an awesome sober recovery. Unbelievable. Just incredible time. And it was just off the charts. So God brings people into our lives when we need them most, right? And it's what a blessing it is. So he says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that you renewed your concern before you had no opportunity to show it. And he says, I'm not saying that because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content in whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. He learned the secret of being content. What's the secret? Well, it's not a secret like, oh, we don't tell people about this. But it is a mystery in the sense that it goes against everything our country has said. And maybe some of that will change as God humbles our country and teaches us to rely on Him and be content with what we have. And yes, IRAs and all those may go down, slide for a while. But who's our hope in? Who's our trust in our IRA? In God, right? And we'll talk about it here in a little bit. But anyway, there is a need. People are in need. I was talking about my son's church, and they have a group that went out shopping. And hasn't that been an experience this past week? Oh, my goodness. Ran out of toilet paper. You got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. So I had to get some for my daughter. I got paper towels and stocked up at least some of those. But talk about panic buying, right? It's nuts and the lines and everything else. But anyway, their church had some people, God bless them, that were willing to stand in line and pick up supplies, not for themselves, but for the elderly of their congregation, which I thought was great. And they went out and got them for them, and I thought that's great. And by the way, before I forget, there is a real need for our food bank and other food banks as well, because I talked to the manager of St. Mary's Food Bank, and they said a lot of volunteers aren't showing up, and the need's gotten greater because people are panic buying, so people who really need food are having trouble getting it. So we will have an offering today for our food bank, because it's been depleted as well. So what I'm saying is, we can be like the Philippians. There are needs right now that maybe you can do something you've never done before and step out of your comfort zone and not just take care of your family, but to love all people to Christ and do it in practical ways of showing the love of Christ. Just a smile in the grocery store would be wonderful, right? Just a smile, you know, and greeting someone in love, a fellow human being that's standing there too, and just kind of talk and realize and help them realize they're not alone. And yeah, here we are. Well, we'll stand in line together, right? So we're together on this, and God can use us, and I think He's going to use us in magnificent ways, His people. Again, my son's pastor at their church about 3 months ago, at the beginning of this year, 2020, said, and he doesn't usually do this, he said, I just have a sense of something in the year coming up in 2020, something's going to happen to our country that's going to force people to look to Jesus, and that it's going to be an opportunity for us to be ready and prepared and have 2020 vision to reach people. Wow. And he doesn't ordinarily do that. I know him. He's a great guy, but he's not like always doing, and the Lord told me this and that. But when it does happen, he speaks it as a prophet, as a pastor. But anyway, there are opportunities for you to serve. And Jesus said, even a cup of cold water, which even now is hard to find, right? Who would have thought that? Even a cup of cold water given in my name will not lose a reward. Not that we do it for rewards. So the opportunities are certainly there for us to help and for us to learn and to teach people contentment. This is really neat. And, we break some rules around here, right? Man-made rules, not God's rules. Well, I have a new client, a mom who's new to Touchstone, who came from West Africa and suffered a lot in Africa with all the warfare and genocide going on there. She met her husband at a refugee camp in Africa. Her name is Bendu. And when I went over to her house, it was difficult over the phone to make arrangements and get directions because her English was, it was hard over the phone. It's easier in person to understand. And so I'm going, okay, I think I know where you live. I'm not sure. So I made it, and the case manager said she could use a food box. So I came in with a food box. It blew her away. I met her and gave her a food box. And she goes, oh, praise to Jesus. Praise to Jesus. And we started talking before we anything else about Touchstone. She started talking about the power of prayer. And there's something about so many of those believers in Africa, they know how to pray. It wasn't loud. It wasn't forceful. But what it was, ESPN. What in the world? No, there's no news on ESPN today. The news is here. That's the first time I heard that da-da-da-da-da-da when I'm preaching. Interesting. Where was that? Oh, yeah. Bendu. She started talking about prayer. And I just had an overwhelming day with a woman that's lost everything. Her husband, everything. Her house, her car, all kinds of stuff. But anyway, when she was speaking, I feel like a lightning bolt came right into my heart when she started talking about prayer. And just bringing me energy and light. And the more she started talking, the more I just started getting a little excited about this. And we had a great talk. And she's got five kids. Her husband works as a mental health support person with adults who are mentally ill and sometimes violent. And he drives them in a van with them in the back. And so the woman, Bendu, prays a sort of same prayer you talked about last week. Oh, Lord, like, help me. And at the end of the day, when he comes home from work, thank you, Jesus. And almost the same words. Really cool. I go, huh, I've heard that before. So anyway, we were talking. The point is, this woman has learned contentment. In Africa, they don't have a lot. Sometimes if a person's sick, in many parts of Africa, if you're not healed by Jesus Christ, you're not going to get healed because there's no doctors available. There's no water available for 5 miles. Imagine that. I had to walk 5 miles of water. Well, I think they shouldn't say anything. But contentment. She's so content. And she says, our country needs prayer more than ever. We need to pray. How do we do pray, Pastor? Like, amen to that. And then she says, oh, maybe you and I, if you can't come over, we can pray over a phone. I said, sure, like for 4 or 5 minutes. And maybe 35, 45 minutes. We pray over a phone. Well, sounds good to me. So anyway, the point is, she has learned the secret of being content. In a refugee camp, she finds her husband, meets her husband. Goods come, and she's so thankful for this country, all the blessings she's received in this country. And I said, you are going to be used. And her husband is a lay minister of her church, and they are a dynamic couple in Christ. And just when she speaks, everything changes. Everything changes. And she works at Target. And when she was talking about toilet paper there, too. This was Friday. She says, I can't find toilet paper where I work at Target. She says, what's wrong with you people? So she's learned to be content, and what a blessing. And she wants to come here sometime. We're to break rules again. So hopefully sometime they can come over here. And it's just in a good way, infectious Christian. Just awesome. So Paul learned it. Bendu's learned it. And maybe this country can start learning that. I remember my first congregation was in a rural area, a rural church. We've got the suburban, and again the rural, now the urban. And the one in the rural was something else. It was really an adjustment to go from the suburbs to a rural. But I love the country life. Driving a tractor, even though I broke an implement, that's okay. And I love being out in the country. and the mindset with some awesome people, down-to-earth people that I didn't appreciate as a young pastor. I was all, oh, I've got to go to the suburbs. That's where it's at. I was wrong. These people gave us sides of beef, and we just had a baby, and they were wonderful people. Just awesome people in the country. But they lived a very simple life of trusting God for their crops, for the weather. And it was good or bad, blessed be the name of the Lord. And they never worked on it. They didn't drive their tractor on a Sunday. Not as a rule, but just this is the Lord's day. And if it's good weather and it's our only sunny day out there and it's on a Sunday, we worship God. He comes first and He'll take care of everything else. As Chick-fil-A and Sanderson Ford find out by being closed on Sunday. By the way, we are not closed on Sunday here. Hallelujah, right? Amen. Amen. So, the secret of being content is, what? Trust in God, the great provider. There's a college named Providence. I'll bet those people don't even think about why it was named that way nowadays. But so many of those colleges were started off of Christian seminaries and colleges. Harvard has an inscription. It talks about Christ and the church and truth. And you know what they've done? They had a new president come in some years ago. He took out the first two of their motto, Christ and the church, and now it's just truth. And people think that's their original motto, Veritas, truth. That's only one third of it. Christ, church, truth is why Harvard's was started. And you think about our country, how our country's been through many trials over the years, right? The Pilgrims, Frank and Mary gave me a DVD about, named Monumental with Kirk Cameron, and it's a fantastic movie about how the Pilgrims had to fight and face so much adversity to get here. And the Mayflower wasn't supposed to be equipped to go across the ocean like it did. And all the miracles, and it's powerful, but I don't have time to go through all of it. It's amazing how it all happened and how our country got started with the idea of having religious liberty, going to a place where they can praise Jesus and believe in the holy inerrant word of God, word for word, and not have a king tell them what to believe or how to worship. So that's why they started it. The Puritans wanted to have a pure Christian life, not based on religiosity or the king. So God was with them, and it's just amazing. Over and over again, you see His hand. And with George Washington, so many miracles in his life, being shot at and bullets seemingly passing right through him. Or it was, how did that happen? How did he survive? And one time, George Washington, the armies were in a very, very desperate situation. And all of a sudden, here comes a fog that hides them from the British. And then the fog lifts. Another time, where they were starving to death. And George Washington and Abraham Lincoln, by the way, both of them, when they called out for prayer, they started the prayer with a request for humiliation and repentance and fasting and prayer. It started with repenting. God, we are sinners. We don't deserve Your grace. And they had an appeal to heaven with a flag that said, an appeal to heaven. Well, I think that's needed today. An appeal to heaven. God, You can change. You can heal. You can restore our land, right? And that is our prayer. An appeal to heaven. But anyway, they were starving. And George Washington was concerned. He prayed out, called out to God. And then it happened. As we're in this stream, there was a warm spring that... And then it was a more shallow area. And all of a sudden, there was a shad, big fish. There's a whole bunch of these fish coming to this warmer water in the shallow area where all the soldiers had to do is bend down and pick up a fish, each one of them. And God miraculously saved the army. On and on and on it goes about Providence. And that's why that college was named Providence, because it comes from God, right? He provides. The Lord will provide. And we can learn to be content, no matter what. He says, not only that, I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. Somebody gave me a candle for Christmas with that verse on it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I love that verse, but I don't like the misapplication, especially some athletes that have written it on their shoes, Philippians 4:13, and that's great. But then when they talk about it, you know what they say? You know, first of all, Paul used athletics as an illustration of the Christian life. About the athlete having to have self-discipline and self-control. But what's happened is that some athletes have switched it around, and they've talked about Philippians 4:13 being about athletics with an illustration about the Christian life. That's the other way around. In other words, they were using these verses to talk about faith in themselves, or faith in each other, or faith in their team. No, it's I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and the focus is on Him, not on my team if they'll win. And they're using Bible verses to talk about faith in each other and themselves. That's not what this verse means, and I wish they'd stop misapplying, not misquoting it, but misapplying that verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Does that mean, oh, we just name it and claim it? And that, where was Paul writing this from, by the way? Oh, he wasn't in a mansion, everything prosperous and wonderful? There were times where God miraculously, with angels, broke the chains and they were really released from prison. But not always, right? So Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the word strengthen there is a word we get the word for dynamite. Dynamite's pretty powerful. By the way, when I lived in Ahwatukee and was at Family of Christ, we had the dream of having a freeway like a 202. Wouldn't it be great if we had a freeway back there in Ahwatukee? Because it was the nation's biggest cul-de-sac, was what we called it. Wouldn't it be nice to have it another way around? And I remember the elder of our church going, well, won't be in my lifetime. But now we have it. And I drove it the other day back to my old church, and it is awesome. And you can go all the way around, and they had to blast through two mountains to get that freeway going. That must have taken a lot of dynamite and a lot of power to blow up two mountains to get that 202 to go by there. Well, that's the power of God, the dynamite of God. I can do all things through Christ who empowers me, who strengthens me. And Paul was relying on Jesus Christ, not himself. And so how do we get through things? Do we rely on ourselves? No. We look up. I will look up unto my eyes until the hills. From whence comes my help? Where's my help come? Help from? Float from? It comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen? So we look to Him. Let's say that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Let's remind each other and the world too in this the days ahead. He says, yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. And it is good that we don't have to live alone. Right? We're not by ourselves. We talked about that, Robert. You know, you've experienced that. I've experienced it. God, have you experienced the love of our fellowship and our family here that we don't have to get through? You guys have experienced a lot. Makes you start crying. You'll start crying just think about it. There you go. But we're not alone. We are here, and God's here. And we can share in each other's troubles and say, well, too bad for you. Moreover, he says, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. Have you ever been disappointed by churches? Promises made? Oh, yeah, Pastor, you guys can count on us. Some you can count on us. We have sister churches. Others, not so much, right? Promises made, promises broken. He says, well, okay, all the other churches didn't think of me, but you did, for even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire gifts. What I desire is more to be credited to your account. He wasn't saying, look, I need money, folks. I'm preaching about money. He's just saying, God will provide. But it was nice that he used you to be part of my providence and provision, rather. He says, I have received full payment and more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. It's like in the Old Testament when they would go to the Holy of Holies and they had the incense go up to heaven. In the same way, our offerings are like a fragrant incense to God. That in our sacrificial giving, God blesses us, right? We can't outgive God. And we give to Him. And it's like a fragrance. It smells good. Like we talk about aromatherapy, you know, and a sweet smell. The sweet-smelling sacrifices that we have, we offer to the Lord. In love for Jesus and for other people who will be helped. And he says, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. That might be a good verse for our country and for all of us, right? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? I've got quite a few families that are going through some poverty and don't know how they're going to make it in the next 2 weeks. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. The Lord will provide. Remember when Abraham was commanded to sacrifice his son to prove his faith? Which is, you think, how dare you, God? And what did Abraham, when his own son said, we've got the wood, we've got everything for the sacrifice, where's the lamb? Where is it? And what did Abraham say? The Lord will provide. He will provide. And He will today. And He will with us. And because of that, we can say in verse 20, to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. We keep praising Him. One of the songs I've listened to, Kayla, talked about the fact that we battle Satan by worship. We enter into the battle by worshiping Him, right? We worship Him. Jehoshaphat, when he had the armies going out, he sent the singers, the praise team, out first before the fighters because they wanted to have the praise of the Lord. And the devil is allergic to praise. He hates praise, right? When we praise Him, he flees. And we call on the name of our Lord in our praise today. Amen? And he says, greet all God's people in Christ Jesus. And so as we do the social distancing and all that, may we connect to one another in whatever way is appropriate and possible, at least by telephone, just to connect to one another. Because that'll be another disease, will be lack of social contact and community and being isolated. It's not good when we isolate, right? It ain't good. So we need to connect with one another and continue that in whatever ways that are appropriate. And he says, the brothers and sisters are with me. Send greetings. And we think of the jails. We can't go to the jails anymore, so we got to keep praying for those. And some of them are really worried about their family members out there. So they're here. Their families are out there. And I don't know if they'll be able to visit their family through video or they're able to go to the jails or not, hopefully. They can still do that. That's good. So we need to pray for the inmates. Okay. So it says, all God's people here, send your greetings. This is important. You know, here and for us to send greetings, send love out. If, like never before, right? We need to keep doing that. And then finally, for them and for us, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, deep down in our spirit, our soul. So as a blessing to all of us, to myself and to one another and to those listening on the internet, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen.